this question of fear. We're all afraid of it. And there are things in relationship to this fear that you and I have to recognize. That if you trust in God and let Him be your guide and strength, you won't have that fear. And your fear is in relationship to your trust. As your faith in God gets stronger, your fear dissipates. And as your faith in God gets weaker, your fear arises. You want to have fear dissipated and removed, then you rise up and hold up the name of the living God and look to Him to undertake for you, and He will. It's our faith that brings victory. It's our faith that casts out fear and enables us to put our trust in the blessed Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We will worship the man of Galilee who went to a cross 2,000 years ago, and no one can take his place. No one will intercede or interfere. We will not permit it. So it is, we have faith without fear.
Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. to the beginning. I can't control what tomorrow will bring, but I know right here in the middle is where you are, is the place where you promised to. All I want is all you are. Will you meet me here again? As I walk through the valley, let your love rise above every fear. Let it rise like the sun shaping the shadow. In my weakness, your glory appears. I'm not enough.
All I want is
is all you are. Will you meet me here again? There's nothing else that matters, 'cause all I want is all you are.
Hallelujah. Come on, give the Lord praise today. Hallelujah. You know, it's always great to hear from the Lord. I'm glad there are still churches today that allow the gifts of the Spirit to be operative. Amen. Come on. Allow God to get in the mix and to speak to us. God's calling us. You hear the word today that came forth. God's calling us. It's a conditional call. And some of you may say, Pastor, what are you talking about? It's a conditional call. You know, you can run in fear. Or you can respond, even as the welcome video today, you can respond in faith. God says, I'm always there. That's what he just said. I've not gone anywhere. I've healed you. Come on, he used the past tense. I've healed you. Yeah. I've healed you. I've blessed you. I've heard you. I've poured out my spirit on you. And I'm going to still do it. That's what the Lord said. I'm going to still do it. How many of you are a little frustrated right now? Come on, just be honest. Just be honest. You know, when I get frustrated, I got frustrated yesterday. I got frustrated yesterday because I went out into the world. I'm okay when I'm home. Nobody bothers me at home. I don't even have a fly in my house. No flies, no mosquitoes. But all I did was go to Walmart. And I was reduced down again to someone who's controlled. I was reduced to something. Yeah, no, you can't go in there. Come in here. And you got one little chute that you can go through. Now they've got gates up, you know, and they're monitoring closer than they've been monitoring before. And you know what? I believe in being careful. Yesterday I squirted my hands probably 10 times with sanitizer. Why? Because I was out and about. I believe in that. You said, Pastor, you're not wearing a mask. No, I'm not wearing a mask. But don't judge me for that, okay? Guess what? What I did yesterday when I got out of the car, every time I put a mask on, okay? I put a mask on to go in every place I went into. If you're not safe in here, you're not safe anywhere. To your right and to your left, there are purification machines that run 24/7 in this room. Just oxidizing the air, cleansing the air, cleaning the atmosphere. You can even smell it. You got sanitizer. You got out of the shower this morning, didn't you? Come on, I hope so. And you've come in to worship. But if you go out into the world, it's very frustrating. And it's starting to get on people's nerves, and their attitudes are changing. And I'm going to tell you something, it's probably not going to get better for a while. But don't allow the society to cloud you with fear and doubt. Don't. You infuse the society with faith. You speak faith. You speak faith. Don't you speak fear. And you take necessary precautions, and you be careful, and you wash a little more, and you cleanse a little more. But don't leave faith at home, because you're going out into a midst of a bunch of people who are frightened in a way that they've never been frightened before. And you have more opportunities than you've ever had before to speak the word of faith. Amen. And you know what? I'm going to tell you, I've been preaching this to you, and it's just the truth. It's going to take more in these days that we're walking into. It's going to take more than it ever has before. And it's going to take more faith. And it's going to take more Holy Ghost. Come on. It is. It's going to take more. It's going to take more. So you better come and join us. Come in here on the weekends. You know, I'm glad. We got a tremendous online audience. I'm glad. In fact, there's a young lady in the hospital in Altamont Springs, Florida right now. Good morning, Kelly. She used to be a member of this church. Good morning, Kelly. Right now, Kelly, this body of believers, she's got Crohn's disease, and she's in the hospital, and they were an active part of this church for a long time. And her mama passed away. We buried her here. And she was a nurse at hospice during her days here, and she's in the hospital with Crohn's disease. So, Father, right now, come on, stretch your hand out to Kelly. Shipalabura mande. In the name of Jesus, God, would you visit that hospital room? Would you just spank Crohn's like it was a misbehaving child? Would you just spank Crohn's right now in her life? Would you just kill that thing? Because you're the God who heals us. You just said it through the gifts of the Spirit. You're the God who heals us. You have healed and you will heal. And so, God, we just thank you right now that you're touching Kelly right now in Jesus' name in Florida through the medium of internet. And Lord, there are many others who are watching us right now. And I pray in the strong name of Jesus, the strong Son of God, that you would enter into every hospital room, that you would enter into every home, enter into every car, wherever people are watching. And if there's sickness, heal it, Lord. And would you release faith into the hearts and the spirits of everyone who's watching us right now? And God, today in this room, would you ignite our faith? Would you ignite our faith? God, we're fasting. You said there's a lot of things that can't take place unless we fast and pray. We're fasting 40 days. And we're believing you, God, for supernatural, not just natural, not just healing a little something here and there. We're believing you for supernatural intervention to curse that COVID virus in our midst in the name of Jesus, in this region and regions beyond, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, if we've ever wanted to believe, it's now. If we've ever need to see you move, it's now. And so we come against that spirit of fear that are robbing people from sitting in these pews. And God, I pray there be such a move of the Holy Ghost in this church that God, people would flock. People would flock to come and stand in your presence. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Come on, give the Lord a praise, would you?
to the name that is above every other name, to the name that is seated high upon the throne. Come on, lift up a praise. Come on, let's keep the praise going. Let's keep the applause going. He's worthy to the one to whom belongs dominion and glory and honor and power and praise. Come on, just begin to lift up our voices to the King who is worthy. We love you, Jesus. We honor you, Jesus. We thank you that you are our healer, that you are our friend, that you are the one who saved us, who died on the cross and who rose again. We give you glory in this place. We declare that you reign, Jesus, that there is nobody like you, Lord, that you are Lord right here at Carpenter Shop International Church in Ahoskie, North Carolina. We declare, Jesus, you reign. Hallelujah! 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 Karanda raba baba ya sandaye. Horo sandere la 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 ya ishanda randa baba baye. Kanderi da ya sonda randa baba baye. Kurane de 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 le 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 ya ishanda randa baba ya santu karamama ya. Jesus. Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shukaranda babaya santa. Kuta rashanta ramama santa. Shukaranda bababa santa. Things are breaking in this atmosphere right now. Curses are being lifted right now. Diseases are being healed right now. The strongholds of the enemy are being destroyed right now. Freedom is being released right now. As we continue to just pray and worship, there's a release that's happening. There's a shifting that's happening, not just in the atmosphere, but in the spiritual realm. Just continue to make a noise. There's something powerful in this moment about making a sound right now. When Israel marched around Jericho for 7 days, and then they shouted, the walls fell down. Walls are crumbling right now in the name of Jesus as you release a sound. Karanda randa baba baba sanda randa baba baba shanda. Karanda baba baba ya sanda. I just hear the Lord saying persistence in prayer, persistence in the gifts, persistence in the place of prayer and in ministry, persistence in prayer. Even as the widow came to the judge every day for justice, as you seek me, says the Lord, I will give you justice. Shanda randa baba baba baya santa. Shanda randa baba baba santa. Ask, seek, knock, and the door will be opened to you. Shakate de 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 la 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 ya santa. Do I not delight in giving good gifts to my children, says the Lord? And have I not delighted in you, my child, says the Lord? Shikari da 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 da. For I am your maker and I am your friend. I am your keeper until the very end. You are mine, says the Lord. And I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have cherished you from the womb. I have set you apart, says the Lord. Have I not called you and prepared you for such a time as this? Santa, nothing catches me by surprise. Have I not prepared you? Believe in me, says the Lord. Rest in me, says the Lord. Trust me, and I will keep you. In all your ways, acknowledge me, and I will direct your paths. Thank you, Jesus. Sing that chorus softly one more time.
What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus.
God, a hand of praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You can be seated. God is so good. Amen. Such a blessing to be in the assembly of the believers today. Welcome to Carpenter Shop International Church. We're glad you're here. If this is your first time with us, after the service, please visit us in the foyer, and we'd love to give you a personal welcome to Carpenter Shop International Church. If you're watching online, thank you for tuning in. Carpenter Shop is a multicultural, multi-generational church whose mission is to love, win, build, and send. As we continue to worship the Lord with our tithes and offerings, please know that there are several ways to give. You can do so on our My Church app. You can do so by text, or you can do so on our website. If you're writing a check or giving by cash in an envelope, please include your email so that we can send you a giving receipt. If you're watching online, just click the link in the comment section or in the description box. And if you're in the building, we welcome you to come forward at this time to drop your gift in the bucket. God bless you as you give.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Man, I'm glad you're back with me again this week. Robin Good here. Remember what we're out here doing, right? We are out here looking for King Lionheart's bravery. Remember what I told you about the king? He was once super brave. He ruled all this land, but something happened to him, and he lost his bravery. And he sent me, Robin Good, on a mission to find his bravery. And I have enlisted you guys to help. And I'm glad you're with me again this week. We've already found two clues to the king's bravery. Remember, guys, the king gave me a map that had the location of four clues that would help him find his bravery again. Let's see if we can find out where clue number three is. Number three, right here. I see it on the map. I think I know just where to find it. Let's go, guys. Oh, and bring your coat. This is gonna be a cold one. Okay, we're getting really close now. According to the map, the third clue is just up on that mountain right there. All right, we're almost there. But I see a little something blocking our way. Take a look, guys, right over there. Man, the evil ones has put out his bears to guard that clue. Those bears can smell really, really good. If we get close, they might smell us, and then they'll keep us from getting to that clue. Tell you what, let me just take a minute. Let me check the bag and see if I have anything that can maybe help us out here. I'm not sure, but I'm gonna look. Okay, I think I might have found something. Check it out. Man, this right here, this is a yard of beef. Man, do you guys ever get one of these from your grandma at Christmas time? I'm glad I held on to this one, because it might be just what we need. I don't know if you guys have ever tried this stuff, but let me just tell you, if you eat this whole thing, the whole yard of beef, you will be so sleepy, you will just have to take a nap. So I think maybe if I can take this over to the polar bears and get them to smell it, maybe I can lead them away from us. And then when they eat it, man, they'll have to just pass right out and we can get to that clue. All right, you guys hang tight. Let me see what I can do. Here we go. Oh, guys. Oh, they're smelling. Ooh, they're getting the scent of it now. Here they come. Here they come, guys. Here they come. Don't worry. I'm gonna lead them. I'm gonna lead them this way. Oh, they're coming back, guys. They're following me. It's working. But I gotta figure out some way to get rid of the beef and hide myself so that they won't see me. I'm not real sure what I'm gonna do. Hold on, let me get rid of the beef first. Guys, the bears took the bait. They're gonna go over there and eat it. And then it will put them right to sleep. But if they come by and see us, then the plan is shot. It's not gonna work. We've got to figure out some way to blend in with the snow. I know, I see some bushes over there. You guys, you go hide behind the bush, and I'll stay out here just to stand guard, but I'll have to disguise myself. Maybe if I could somehow make myself look like a snowman, maybe then I could blend in with the snow. Let me check the bag and just see. Maybe there's something in here to help me. I need something white. Ooh. This might work here. I just gotta make sure, guys, that I gotta make sure that I get it off. I gotta make sure I cover everything up so that they can't see me, okay? I'm working on it. Okay, it's looking good. Oh, yes. Oh, we're close. Ooh, they'll never spot me now. All right. Let's see. I think I just need a few more things. Okay.
All right, guys. Now, we just gotta be super quiet. I feel good. It's working!
Ooh, that was a close one. But guess what? I think the plan worked out perfectly. The bears went over and they ate the yard of beef. And look at them now. They're passed right out. They're so happy. Their tummies are so full. We don't have to worry about a thing. We can go get our clue. Here we go. All right. Got it, guys, right here. Clue number three. Man, we are so close to getting the king's bravery back. Let's see what this clue says. Man, it says, show mercy. I wonder what showing mercy has to do with being brave. I know we said King Lionheart, he was always really brave. And I remember when King Lionheart first saw me, remember I was a thief and I was stealing things and I stole things even from the king. And he caught me and he could have locked me up. But guess what? He showed me mercy. And now, because of that, I'm out here on this mission. Anybody can just get mad and try to take revenge on people. But if we're really brave, we will show mercy. Guys, I know this week, it's been a really cold trip. So you can just hang out here, build you a fire, and get warm and regain your energy. I'm going to take clue number 3 back to the king. And we'll only be one clue away from restoring King Lionheart's bravery. Man, he is going to be so excited to get this. All right, guys, I'll see you next week. And remember, be brave out here. And if something happens and you get mad with each other, don't fight. Show mercy. See you next week.
Ariane, all right. Today is week 3 of our series, Brave, where we're learning what it means to be brave. What does mercy really mean? What does the word mercy mean? It means, it's kind of another way of saying compassion for others, but especially compassion for others that don't deserve it. We're going to continue the story about David today. And where we left off last week, David had just defeated the giant Goliath. And up until our story today, he had really become a hero in the eyes of the Israelites, especially because he defeated Goliath. And the Israelites began to like him more and more and more. But unfortunately, King Saul became jealous of that. And King Saul realized how much the people loved David. And so King Saul decided that he wanted to harm David. David heard about this plan, and so he ran away. King Saul took 300 of his best men to try to find David. David and his men were hiding in a cave when King Saul took a little break and went into the same cave that David was in. Saul did not know David was in there. They were further back. When David's men saw that King Saul had come in the cave, they said, "Hey, David, this is your chance. You can harm Saul now. He wants to harm you. You can harm him, and then your life will be spared." David said, "No, he's still the king. I can't do that." And David showed Saul mercy. But he did sneak up behind Saul and cut a little piece of cloth from his robe. After it was over, after Saul went out of the cave, David ran out behind him and showed him the cloth that he had cut and that he had showed mercy. Saul began to cry as he realized David really was a good person. And David showed mercy when Saul definitely did not deserve it. You know, I have some water here. How much water do you think is in this bowl? If we were going to have drops of water, how many drops of water in this bowl? So I'm going to use this water to show us something today. Why do we show mercy? We show mercy because God shows us mercy. You know, it says in Luke chapter number 6, verse number 36, "So have mercy just as your Father has mercy." Imagine that you're in trouble. You've made a wrong choice. You're in trouble with your parents. Maybe if you're an adult, you're in trouble with your boss. You're in trouble with the law. You're in trouble with the teacher. You've done something and you're feeling a little scared because you know you deserve the punishment that's coming to you. But instead of punishing you, they forgive you. That is mercy. But the greatest act of mercy is the mercy that God shows us. God sent Jesus to us when we did not deserve it. Now, but God's mercy, is there a limit? You know, does God ever run out of mercy? I have this water here, and I'm going to try to just count. Maybe I could just count the drops of water. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. I'm already to 20, and I haven't even made a dent on the bowl of water. You know, that's like God's mercy. Actually, a better representation would be if I went and tried to count the drops in the ocean. That would be impossible. We'd have no idea how many drops of water are in the ocean. That's how much mercy God has for us. The Bible says his mercies are new every day. And if God shows us this mercy, how much mercy should we show to others? We should also show mercy. Just like David showed mercy to Saul. There's people that it's really hard, especially when people do wrong to us, and then they need our forgiveness. But that is when we show mercy like God showed us mercy. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for the example you have set for us on mercy, God, that your mercy is limitless. It never ends. God, I pray you would show us who in our life we need to show mercy to. Change our hearts so that we can love others and have compassion even when people don't deserve it. Even when they've hurt our feelings or they've done wrong to us, help us to show mercy to them. In your name we pray. Amen.
I think I figured out why you guys keep coming to church. Y'all like the kids' messages, don't you? Amen. Well, maybe some Snickers or Three Musketeers or Milky Way Midnights or Twix or Milky Ways will help us out today. Look at your neighbor and say, communion time. Well, praise God. Well, if you're fasting now, you got a problem. Okay, if you're fasting sweets, no communion. You know, I'm blessed today to be in the house of the Lord. How many of you can say that? Praise the Lord. You know, and I think it's a part of my position as a pastor. Pastors are shepherds. They lead. What do? They lead sheep. And I think it's my role to speak about things like that, as I spoke about earlier in the church service. You know, one thing that I believe that there's taking place in this land is that there's an effort to maintain control, to gain control. I think there's an agenda. I do. And I think control is a big part of it. And you know, if I just confessed to you a moment ago that just one trip to Walmart got me frustrated. Let me just ask you right quickly, have you gone out into the public somewhere, and it could be something small, it could be the corralling of people or the, you know, the agitation of employee or the mass thing or whatever. How many of you have really gotten frustrated with the rudiments of COVID? Come on, just be honest. Can I just tell you that that is nothing? Hear me now. That this is nothing, nothing compared to what it will be like when control is sieged and Antichrist is in place, and in order even to buy and to sell, you would have to have a mark in your hand or your forehead. And, you know, I never thought that I would ever be alive. I mean, I've preached the gospel for 40 years. And everything that I've preached is somehow there's a fast forward. Well, are we in the tribulation, or is the tribulation coming? Or, you know, I think we're seeing the mirrored reflection of tribulation behavior. Because when that happens, then an Antichrist comes on the scene and says, hey, I know the whole thing's in chaos, but what does he come saying? Peace, peace. I can bring peace to all this confusion. And think about that now. The presence of God through the Christians is removed from the face of the earth. Can you imagine what it would be like with no believers on the earth? Come on. Just think about it. The Bible is being fulfilled right before your eyes. And so I thank God. I was thinking as we were worshiping and the Spirit of God was moving, and that spiritual gifting just continued. Pastor Anoli was releasing prophetic things to you as he was praying and receiving them from the Holy Spirit. And there's nothing more that the enemy would love than to keep you out of an atmosphere where God is moving and speaking. He would love that. He would love to take that away from you. Because if you come in here and get encouraged and fired up and charged in the power of the Spirit, then you're equipped to go out into a world that really needs what you have. And so I thank you for being here. Thank you for those of you who are watching online. We don't take online for granted. You know, we have a tremendous audience we've built. And I thank God for that. But I think there's such a power. Hebrews, the last time I read it, says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Listen, read the rest of it. Even much more as you see the day approaching. The closer we get to the end of time, he says, I want you to assemble how much? More. More. I don't want you staying home. I want you to assemble more. Next week, we're going to assemble Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, and Wednesday night. A revival in the midst of COVID? Absolutely. Sunday to Wednesday. And so go ahead and mark it on your calendar. Mark it on your phone now. Revival, Sunday to Wednesday. And I'm not concerned about numbers. I'm really not. You know, I'm not concerned about numbers. I hope there's a good amount of people here. Yeah, always. Most pastors do love to see a crowd of people. Great crowd this morning. God bless you. But I'm not concerned about the numbers. I'm concerned about what happens in the Spirit. And so I want you to go ahead and plan. Go ahead and plan. I'll have some social media things up for you by tomorrow. And you take those things and you share them. And you use those opportunities to invite people to come with you. Bring sick people. Bring discouraged people. Bring depressed people. Bring folk who need a touch of the Holy Spirit. Because I believe God's going to meet us here. Evangelist Doug Eccles is going to be with us. And I believe that he's going to bring a timely word for us. And I believe we're going to see the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in an incredible way. Praise the Lord. Thank you guys for worship team. Did an incredible job. You enjoy the worship this morning? Come on. Thank you guys for serving. Thank you guys, even in the midst of these challenging moments. Thank you, Pastor Gary and Pastor Miranda, for doing an absolutely phenomenal job. They just do. They pour themselves into it. And we appreciate that. We've been in a series. I hope you've been keeping up with what the Holy Spirit has been saying to us. We've been in a series now for several weeks from the book of Romans, chapter 12. And what we've been talking about is transformational living. Because I told you from the very onset, four messages ago, that we're in a time and we're heading for even a greater time when it's so important. It behooves us as believers. It's so important to live a transformed life, not a scared life, not a fearful life, but a transformed life. I want you to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying today. It's amazing what the Holy Spirit has spoken to us from Romans 12 about that transformed life when he began by saying, you're not to conform to the world, but be what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind. You have to renew your mind even more in seasons like this. It calls for more time in the Word. And that's why we're fasting and praying. CSIC40days.com. That's why we're fasting and praying. That's why we're believing God to equip us and strengthen us and encourage us so that we might live lives that are in fact transformed by His power and His Spirit. And today we continue through the characteristics of a transformed life. It's going to take a little bit of a shift today because we're not really talking about the sharing of the gospel and, you know, and that transformed life, presenting your body a living sacrifice, not so specifically in a spiritual sense, but even as it hits our lives practically. Romans 12 verses 13 to 15. Romans 12 verses 13 to 15, where it says here, again, I love Paul's way as he's inspired of the Holy Spirit to give these little short phrases, instructional phrases, and he says, share with God's people who are in need. Think about that. Share with God's people who are in need. I'm in verse 12 here, 13, chapter 12. Practice hospitality. Practice hospitality. Verse 14, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse anybody out for anything. Okay? Don't cuss folk out, okay? How many of y'all been cussed out before? I have, recently, amen? But don't listen, he says, I don't want you cussing people out. I want you to rejoice with those who have a reason to do what? Rejoice. And when it comes to those who've lost loved ones or lost jobs or lost investments or whatever, I want you to mourn with them. I want you to come alongside with your transformed self, and I want you to mourn with those who are mourning. Amen? We had a chance two times this week. I had two funerals this week. Can I just tell you, COVID funerals are not like regular funerals. They're very different. Things are totally different now. But we still had a chance this week on Monday and on Friday to weep with those who weep and to mourn with those who are mourning. Father, we acknowledge your call. Let's pray. We acknowledge your call in this classic chapter to give our bodies, transformed by your power, the blood of the cross, sacrificially to change us into who we are and who you want us to be. We know it's our reasonable service, Lord. We know it's a spiritual act of worship and that you expect nothing less than that. We've been redeemed, and now we ought to act redeemed and show others redemption. It's our mandate. It's our destiny. And so we pray that today you would awaken our senses, Lord, spiritually, to the reality that you call every one of us to give ourselves away. To give ourselves away to other people. Meet us in this message, Lord. Meet us at the altar, at the conclusion, and give us an opportunity, Father, I pray, to be released for your glory and your honor upon this earth. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. The title of the message today is Give Yourself Away. It starts, you know, when we're kids. We begin the acquisition of things. How many of you, listen, I just this past week, you know, Lexi, her birthday is the 18th. Hope she's not listening to the broadcast here because they're 3 hours behind us, so maybe not. But her birthday is the 18th this week. And so while there's no way that we, I just went across the whole United States, 52 hours of driving. So how do you get gifts then to grandchildren? www.amazon.com. Come on. Amazon Prime. How many Prime members do we have in the house? Come on. Praise the Lord. So Amazon Prime takes care of those things. And so Pastor Joy has the gift of purchasing on Amazon. She can find things. She'll seek it out. This is what she does. She sits in her chair, which is to the left of my chair, and she seeks out these things and she compiles her list. And she says, okay, go ahead, buy them. You know, she just passes me the pad and says, I found what I wanted. Now you pay, okay? So I just, you know, look through the cart and wow, that's cool. So she found all of her selections. And it's amazing with Amazon Prime, you know, they're not going to pack every little thing in the same box. Those guys didn't even know it this week, but there were 5 deliveries showing up at their houses. Now, I don't understand this, but she bought the boys T-shirts that matched, okay? But one was shipped out one day, of a smaller size, from one location, and one was shipped out another day, another shipment, from another location. I just thought the same little guys would throw it in the box and ship it all together. No, no, no. So 5 shipments showed up at their house this week, and it's mom's responsibility, Cassandra, to take those gifts and to separate them. This belongs to Lexi because it's her birthday. But how many of you know that when it's your birthday, if you're in the family, you should get something too? Come on, come on. How many of y'all grew up that way? Everybody gets a present, right? Now, your present might not have the same value as the one who's, it's the big day for them. But when you're a kid, you get stuff, right? You start collecting things. Remember that? You know, the acquisition of things. Somebody say things. You know, you get teddy bears, you get blocks, you get tinker toys, you get tricycles, you get play guns, you get doll babies, and the like. You get everything that you want, and it's yours. And you want to keep it for who? For yourself. And when your little friends come over and start playing with you, and you're playing with something, and how many of you noticed that when a child starts playing with something, especially the younger they are, they start playing with something, and then the other kid notices it, and the other kid wants what you're playing with, okay? Now, they can be surrounded by all kinds of toys, but they want the one you got in your hand you're playing with. And so they snatch it from you. And what do? You run to your mama and say, he took that from me. You get upset. Why? Because whose is it? It's mine. Can I just tell you, it starts when we're little. that things in this life are not yours, they're mine. Okay? Selfishness starts when we're small. We want to keep them for ourselves. That's mine. Parents, remember when you had to teach those children to share? Now, look, what's wrong? No, you need to share. Share with one another. Share with one another. This is the happy way. Is Joy the only one that can sing that song? Share with one another. This is the happy way. You share with people. Share your things. One of the first things our parents have to teach us when we're little is to share, to be benevolent, to offer ourselves to the pleasure and the enjoyment of other people with our things. And it's hard. And hey, how about it when it comes to sharing snacks? Amen? You know, you got your little bag of sweeties, right? You got your little bag of sweeties. And you know what? I can tell you, if I weren't on a fast, I wouldn't give you none of this. I wouldn't. I wouldn't give you not a single piece. Why? Because it's not yours, it's mine, okay? How many of y'all know what a stash is? Come on. Come on. Listen, I got a stash in my office, man. I do. Where's it at? I ain't telling you, because if you come in my office, you know where my stash is. My stash is for me, okay? And I pull those things out once in a while, and I find a little piece of candy, a little bit of chocolate. How many of you know chocolate's filled with the Holy Ghost? Come on. And you find that and you consume it. But my stash, when people come into my office, my stash, you know, I'll always love it when kids come in there because I say, come on here, boy. Come here, girl. Now, pastor's got a little stash here. And I share my stuff. Amen? Would y'all like for me to share my stuff this morning? Come on. Just be honest. How many of y'all like to take communion with the pastor today? Come on. Come on, Elaine. Help me out here. Share a little communion with the believers. Amen. Now, if you're fasting, get behind me, Satan. Don't be taking none of that stuff if you're fasting. But I'm going to share with you. And that's what we should do. We should always be willing to share. I want you to look at what verse 13, the first part of it, I call it 13a. Paul says this. He says, share with God's people. You guys hold on. She'll get to you. Don't get upset. Some people in the back section there are drooling. All right? Slobber coming down their mouth. Share with God's people, especially those who are in need. Are we also, question for you, are we also selfish as adults? Oh, wow, that was a quick answer. You said yes. How many of you have seen adults that are selfish? Amen? I like to be liberal, man. I like to be liberal. You know what I've begun to do? And my wife as well. My wife will keep me in line a lot of times. You know, I've begun to do, especially during this COVID time, go through a drive-through. I did this yesterday, a couple of days ago, whenever it was. I went through the drive-through and I said, hey, could I get a Bojangles unsweetened tea, lemon, please? I'm on a fast. Y'all ain't going to catch me telling no lies. Could I get an unsweetened tea? Yes, anything else? I said, no, that's it. Just unsweetened tea, lemon, please. And that'll be $1.17 or whatever it was, what dollar in the tax. And so I didn't have any change, so I pull out $2, okay? So I get to the window. She gives me my unsweetened tea with the lemon in it and the straw, sissy stick. And I take that, and it's a dollar, and I got like 75, 85 cent, whatever it is, in change. And you know what I did? I said, you can keep that. She said, huh? I said, you can keep that. Me? I said, yeah. She said, well, thank you. You know what that tells me? Folk don't do that. She was shocked that she could keep the change, okay? So why did you pay $2 for a tea when you could have paid a dollar? Because I'm a generous person. Amen? I look for people to bless. I look behind me, and the Holy Spirit says, pay for that person's meal. And I say, hey, see that lady ordering behind me, the guy ordering, whoever it is behind me, would you let me pay for theirs also? Well, sure. And then you've heard me say this before, and then blow the horn. Hey, have a good day. Give. Be willing to give. Have your hand like this, not like this. Have your hands open. And you listen, you know what you'll do? Give, and it shall be given to you. Press down, shaken, and running over. God will cause people to pour into your bosom. Give. Give yourself away. Give your money. Give your possessions. Give your time. You know, we should really be doing that. In other words, Paul's saying here that one of the characteristic traits of a life, what are we talking about? Transformed living. One of the characteristic traits of a life that is transformed by Christ is the sensitivity to the needs of other people in the kingdom and out of the kingdom. Amen? If you remember, this is one of the characteristics that showed up in the early church. Acts chapter 4 doesn't just have people, you know, giving from their finance, but it has people giving from their income, and it has them also giving from their possessions. They would bring what they had and lay it at the apostles' feet. I never will forget when I was preaching in India in 1994. I still got an offering that I received from preaching 2 weeks in India. It's $1.14 equivalent in U.S. money for 2 weeks of preaching. But the pastor over there told me, he said, "Pastor, please, they want to give you an offering. This is something they're learning now in the Indian culture. They're learning this from the Americans who've been coming over and preaching. So they believe that they ought to bless the man of God. And so they've given you an honorarium here for your preaching." And I said, "Well, it was in rupees. How much is this?" You know, he said, "Oh, $1.14. I said, "Praise God." And I kept it. And I got into the pulpit the next service. And I said, "Listen," I held it up. I said, "I want to thank you for your generosity. Thank you for your generosity in giving. Thank you for blessing God's man, okay? And I want to pray God's blessings over you for your giving." But during that service, it was an amazing thing. I remember people coming up, and they would have like a box at the front on a table. And people would come up, and I would see them hold their hand like this, and they would release it like a, almost like a salt running through, you know, the glass. And they would release the grain, and the grain would fall down into the... I saw people come up, and they would come up like this and just, you know, take their watch off and lay it on the table. People came up and took a ring off like that and laid it down. People come up and then took their shoes and laid them on the table. There were people that were doing what? Giving out of what they had, okay? Giving out of what they had. They were giving. They were taught to be a giving people. And so here you have in the book of Acts, chapter number 4, look at 32 to 37 here. It says, all the believers, this is a characteristic of the early church, all the believers were one in heart and in their mind. No one claimed, check this out, this is the early church now, a lot like the church today. No one claimed that any of his possessions, his house, his car, his four-wheeler, his boat, we got a lot of toys, folks. Come on. We got a lot of toys in the church today. And that's okay. I think we should have toys. We start out with them when we're little. We got toys when we're big. Amen? Nothing wrong with having toys as long as you've done what you're supposed to do in the onset with God's holy tithe. Okay? You can have all the toys you want as long as you do what you're supposed to do when it comes to finance. They were all one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own. But they shared everything they had. Amen? They shared everything they had. I heard a story just this past week from a friend of mine who's, and you know what? He's blessed by God. I mean, he's got a couple of houses. He lives in one and uses the other one just for vacation and what have on the water. But his lawnmower broke down. And a preacher friend of ours, the common thing in all three of us is that we're all preachers. A preacher friend of his heard him say that his lawnmower blew up. This preacher friend happened to have just gone and bought him that week a brand new John Deere zero turn. How many of y'all like John Deere? Come on. Nothing runs like a deer, all right? So he brought him a brand new John Deere. And you know what he said to him? He said, "Your lawnmower broke down?" He said, "Well, hey, you got a trailer. I'm going to be gone this week. I've already mowed my grass." What did he tell him? He said, "You take your trailer, you go to my house, you pick up my brand new zero-turn lawnmower, and you go mow all of your property because you got a lot to take care of, I know. And then that'll give you a few days, you know, to settle in on what you're going to purchase to replace your blown-up lawnmower." That, you know what that is? That's an example of Acts chapter 4. He didn't hold that John Deere zero turn with some sense of, you know, honor to that machine and not letting anyone else use it. It was brand new. And he said, "Take it, go get it. Keys are in it. You know where it's at. And mow your grass like it was your own." Okay? You know what I'd have told him? when you got back? Well, you get you more? No, I need to pray about it another week. That's what I'd have told him. Some of y'all didn't get that. Get you a more yet? Nah, I'm still praying about which one to get. I think I'd pray about it until about late September. All right. But the believers in the early church, they didn't claim that strong ownership of what they had. They believed that they were trusted by God to have it, and they shared it. Verse 33, with great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. In verse 34, there were no needy persons among them, because from time to time, those who own lands, that's S, that means you own more than one piece of land, own lands or houses, sold them. Why did they sell them? So that they could bring the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet. Amen. And it was distributed to anyone as he had need. Can I just say this? You've heard me say it before. There never should have been a social services created. I didn't get a single amen. Never. Franklin Roosevelt would roll over in his grave if he knew the horrible abuse that takes place in social services. Now, I don't care if you're a social worker. I was one before I pastored here. I was a social worker in Northampton County. But Franklin Roosevelt would roll over in his grave if he knew what social services had become. It's become an enabling monster that breeds dependence upon the next generation. It is. You say, well, I don't know what I'd do without food stamps. You'd work and eat. You'd do something, but because someone just gives it to you, you just take it and you just keep on looking for it next month. Okay, Pastor, you're being critical. Yes, I am. Are you apologizing for it? No, I'm not. I believe that's the truth. I'm responsible for telling you what? The truth. So if we should not have a social services, where would benevolent needs be met from? The church. The church. Okay? Because here the Bible shows you the backdrop. It shows you the picture. For from time to time, the Bible says, those who had owned lands and houses, they would sell them. They would bring the money and lay it at the apostles' feet. And the apostles would distribute it to those people who had need. And then he says, let me give you an example. I'm just studying the Bible out loud here. He says, let me give you an example. Joseph, somebody say Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus who had a nickname. What was his nickname? Barnabas. That's why we named our house that we give away the Barnabas House. Okay? Beautiful little place on the river, overlooking the Choan, absolutely cost free. For preachers, evangelists, missionaries, Christian leaders who need a place to come and retreat from the pressures of ministry. We do that. There are people sitting right here in this congregation. You say, how in the world you do that? How could you give away a house free? Because people partner with us and make it possible. They're the ones that are paying the bill. Why? Because they're benevolent. Because they understand what God's word says. Okay? So, what happened here, this Levite from Cyprus, Barnabas, why do they call him that? Because his name means he's the son of consolation, the son of an encouragement. He's there to console you and encourage you when you're weary. He's there to console you and encourage you when you need something, when you're hungry. He's there to console you and encourage you. He says he sold a field. Somebody say he sold a field. He sold a field that he owned, and he brought all the money. And he put it at the apostles' feet. Because you know why? He knew that there were needs out there, and he didn't need that piece of property. I never will forget many years ago, a guy who was a member of this church. I'm not going to call his name, never would. You can't figure him out, so just forget it. But he had 7 automobiles in his possession. 7. I counted them in my mind. He's got this one and this one. And there was somebody in the church here who was trying their best to get to church all the time, and they had no automobile. And so I just right out called him on it. I said, hey, bro. I said, I've noticed you have several automobiles. No kids at home. All of them grown and gone. You got seven vehicles in the yard. How many of you know if you have seven vehicles, you have seven insurance policies on seven vehicles? How many of you know you have seven tags on seven vehicles? How many of you know you have seven sets of maintenance on seven vehicles? You know, come on. And so I said to him, would you be willing to look among your seven vehicles and give the one away that perhaps you could easiest give away? Because this person has no transportation. And he looked at me, he said, you got to be kidding me. I said, no, I'm not. I'm serious. I said, this is Bible. Can you do it? And he said, no, I can't do that, man. He said, I might could sell one of them. Are you seeing what I'm seeing here? What was he doing? He was revealing what? His heart. Thank you. He was revealing his heart. What did we go back before I passed you out the bread and the wafer and the juice there a moment ago? Before you got communion in your hand, some of y'all are chewing that thing like you ain't had one in a while. Before we talked about that, we talked about how kids, come on, will say, you can't have that. Whose is it? It's mine. It's mine. Amen? Occasionally we have a yard sale. Sometimes we put it on online, you know, Chowan County online yard sale. Sometimes we don't. I've had many yard sales, and I drag all the stuff out there to the road. Do you think for one second that I'm going to spend my precious time sitting out there Jewing folk down? Will you take 20? You put 30 on. Will you take 20? Will you take 15? Will you get out of my face, okay? I'm not going to stand out there. You know what I do? I put a sign in the yard, and I put, take what you want, leave a donation. I've been doing this all my life. I lived in the parsonage behind the church here for 18 years. My neighbor, it used to drive Mr. Reed. Mr. Reed was a great friend of Zach's. It used to drive him crazy. He would come over to the house and, yes, sir. Pastor, there's a man just went up there to your yard sale stuff, and he took something, and he didn't put nothing in the box. I got his license tag. I said, Mr. Reed, I'm not worried about that. Well, he stole it. I said, you know what? It's on him, okay? I said, he'll get taken care of for that. It's on him. I'm not, Mr. Reed, you don't understand. I don't have time to stand out there and dicker with people. The stuff that I have out there, I don't want anymore, okay? Like half of the stuff we buy at Walmart, some way, someday, ends up where? In a yard sale, okay? So listen. This is the characteristic of the early church. She was a giving church. She was a benevolent church. She was a liberally benevolent church. And she would give those things away. Acts 6 bears this out as well. One of the responsibilities of Acts 6, we use it as that old classic deacon passage. But it bears out this as well. One of the responsibilities of those deacons, choose you seven men of good report. You turn your responsibility of prayer and the word, you know, get that for yourself, and you turn the responsibility of waiting on tables and serving people over to them, okay? That's what deacons are supposed to do. They're diakonos. They're servants. They're not supposed to tell you, you know, they count the money and tell you how you ain't going to spend it. That's not the job of a deacon, okay? The job of a deacon is to serve. We don't have deacons in this church. Have you noticed that? We have volunteers. Same thing. Volunteers serve. We have elders, okay? Deacons or diakonos are servants of God's people, and our modern-day word can be used as what? A volunteer. They're serving in the nursery. They're serving on the back line right now. They're making our stuff go all over the world. They're serving here watching in security over the congregation. They're making sure you're not throwing your candy wrappers on the floor, okay? They're doing all these kinds of things. Why? Because they're serving. They're serving. And so this is what the early church called upon. And the job that we're cited in the book of Acts was the job of distributing food to the widows. Can I just tell you, this is another message, but this is where prejudice started, okay? Because there, in all of the distribution of the food, there arose up quarreling among them. Over what? You serving them, but you ain't serving us. Okay? It was a us and them thing. It started long, long ago. Second message I preached here 20 years ago, 30 years ago, excuse me, I missed 10 years. Second message I ever preached here at Carpenter Shop Church was about that very passage. Amen? I remember it 30 years ago. And God calls us to be giving people. I give myself away. That's the title of the message. He calls us to be giving people. Verse 13, second part of it, back to our text. In the second portion of this verse, he says, not only do I want you to be giving people, I want you to practice hospitality. Amen? Practice hospitality. Engage in hospitality. Go forth in hospitality. He transitions now from sharing in the kingdom, the willingness to share outside the kingdom, and awareness to open up our benevolent spirit to people that we don't even know. I want you to be hospitable. In fact, listen to this. Powerful teaching here. This word hospitality he uses here is only used two places in the Bible. Two times. It's used here when he says, I want you to practice hospitality. And it's used in Hebrews 13:2. Write this down. He says in Hebrews 13:2, he says, do not forget to entertain strangers. Okay? He's called you to be hospitable. He says, don't forget to entertain even strangers, not just people in the kingdom, but even people in the line at Bojangles. Even people in front of you at Walmart, even people with you walking down the street, don't forget to make sure that you show hospitality to strangers, for by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angelic beings without even knowing it, to messengers sent by God, planted there on that assignment for you to be kind to, and you overlook them. He calls us to be willing to invest in folk we don't even know. I like to be benevolent. I like to support college students. I like to support missionaries. I like to support waitresses and waiters. You know what I said yesterday? My wife and I went through another drive-thru. Unsweetened tea, lemon, please. Okay? No, anything else? Nope, that's it. Okay, pull forward. Your total is 247. Just two large teas and lemon. That's it. You know what I like to do? I like to say, okay, God, anything for this young lady? And my wife is my witness. You know what I said to her yesterday? I said, you know what? I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that I don't have to stand at a window with a mask and gloves on and do a minimum wage job. I said, I'm so thankful for that. And my wife come back and said, forget the mask and the gloves. I'm thankful that I don't have a minimum wage job. I said, man, it's hot. She's sitting there with the gloves on and the mask on, and it's mandatory by her employer. And she, no matter how hot she gets when she opens those little glass doors, no matter how hot she gets, no matter how many wasps fly in there or bumblebees or whatever, she's still got to have that mask and glove on, and she's still got to serve you for whatever minimum wage is. I don't know what it is, but I don't make it. Okay? And I said, I'm glad I don't have to stand there with a mask and gloves on a minimum wage job. I'm glad I don't have a minimum wage job. You know what? And you say, well, I got a minimum wage job. Well, start giving some of your minimum wage away and watch God give you a promotion. Okay? You come to me and tell me about that, and I will agree with you that God will open up supernaturally a new position for you that will take you up to the next step on your journey. God can do it because he says, give, and it what? It shall be given to you. He's calling us here to practice hospitality, to invest in folk that we don't even know. This was manifested in the Spirit, on the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, when Peter and John were getting put to the test here in Acts chapter 3. He has them walking up to the temple at the hour of prayer. They had done this before, but this time they're walking in the Spirit. There's a difference. They're not just going to the place of prayer. They're walking in the Spirit. And no matter how many times they have walked by this man before at the gate called Beautiful, they cannot walk by him this time. Why? Because they're filled with the Holy Ghost. And there's something that happens in the supernatural arena when your eyes begin to see someone who has a need that you do not have. The Spirit of God will speak to you to meet that need. And so this is what they did. Peter and John, Acts chapter 3. Look at us! Silver and gold we don't have, but such as we have, we give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. And that's what they did. They were used by God to make a command to this man, rise up and walk. In the power of the Holy Ghost, they gave what they had. Amen? That's what God wants you and I to do. Now, you're always going to have those people who abuse everything. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, what did he say about the poor? Somebody help me. What did Jesus say about poor people? He said, you'll always have them with you. You're going to always have poor people. You're always going to, listen, we gave away $108,000 in food from this parking lot in the month of July. $108,000 worth of vegetables out of this parking lot. Well, how much did that cost the carpenter shop? You want to know? $1,000. We gave $1,000 for $108,000 worth of food. Didn't have to do that. Why'd you do it? Because I could. Okay? Because I could. I said, hey, let me just sew this back in. Let me just give $1,000. I'm thankful. Okay? And in that giving of food, we gave it away July, just back to back, you know, giving away food. Well, now it's August, right? It is August, right? I came to church here last Wednesday of this past week. I got here by 8 o'clock. I forget why I was even here, but I had a reason to be here early in the morning. And I pulled into the parking lot, and I said, wow. No social media advertisements, no mention, no plans, nothing was canceled. Just a typical Wednesday morning in the month of August. Guess what I ran into? 35 cars backed up at 8 o'clock in the morning for a 10 o'clock giveaway, starting right there and extending all the way out the parking lot down the street. 35 cars. For people who were still expecting that we would do this again, even if we didn't advertise it. We have people that come through here to receive what we give away, and some of them get an attitude. Some of them get an attitude. You know? Is this all you got? Well, yeah, this is what we're giving away today. And I just tell the people, we get into a huddle. Julie, you remember that first day we did? I was getting to it. I said, listen, there's going to be people that will put you to the test today. They're going to say, can I get one for my uncle? Can I get one for my cousin Sally and sister-in-law Judy? And can I get one for my brother-in-law Ted? Can I get one? I said, can I just look at them and say, yes, you can. Yes, you can. No, we're not going to say, no, you get one box. Get out of here. No, we're not going to do that. We're going to give it to you. You know why? Because we're called to bless. And when you put that box in your car, I have released myself. Don't miss this, y'all. I have released myself from the responsibility of it. And now you will stand before the righteous judge of the universe. And if you let that box sit home and rot, God bless your soul. If you took too much and you can't even handle that much and you had to end up throwing it away, God bless your heart. But when I gave it to you, I released my concerns about that. How many of y'all have seen a 40,000-pound pile of sweet potatoes on our parking lot before? Come on. Many times. I remember giving away sweet potatoes, 40,000 pounds. And I remember somebody calling me, Pastor Phillips, this is so-and-so. I want to tell you something, man. There's a guy down out there by the old Red Apple going toward Winton. He's got a truck back there, and he's got a sign up, sweet potatoes for sale. And he said, I saw him at your parking lot this morning with a box just filling up and dumping them in the back of his truck. He said, what are you going to do about that? I said, nothing. He said, what? I said, nothing. I said, my responsibility was to give them away. I said, you know who's going to stand before God for doing that? He is. I'm not going to be charged anything, okay? I did what I was supposed to do. God has called you to be a giver. How many of you have said this before? Well, I give her a present. She act like she didn't appreciate it. Doggone if I ever give anything else. How many of you ever said that before? Besides me, come on. How many of you ever said that before? Okay, no. Listen, you need to learn a valuable lesson here. Holy Spirit wants your attention right now. You need to learn a valuable lesson today from the Holy Ghost. When you give, what does that mean? That means you don't pay attention to what happens when you release. Two words, powerful, give and release. You don't pay attention to what happens to that gift after you release it. Y'all quiet here now. Come on. I know that's tough, but guess what? That's the Bible. You release that thing. You give it to them, and don't you worry about it. You're always going to have a cantankerous group of people to deal with on this earth. But we are what? Transformed people. We are into what? Transformational living. So he wants you to share. He wants you to be hospitable. He wants you to share your sweet corn, your strawberries. Share what you got. Give it away. Give yourself away. These are those times when God wants you to buy someone's lunch. It's hard times right now. Challenging times right now. These are those times when God wants you to be hospitable with his presence. He wants you to share with strangers. He wants you to offer physical healing in the name of Jesus. He wants you to lay hands on people for emotional healing. He wants you to lay hands on people for deliverance in the name of Jesus. You know what? There's another pandemic coming. You know what it is? It's the results of this pandemic. Has nothing to do with a virus. It's an emotional pandemic from the rudiments of this crazy mess. Fear, suicide potential, depression, anxiety. There's another pandemic following this one, okay? I saw a sign riding down the road yesterday. I saw a sign that said, shut up complaining. Egypt had 10 of these. 10 plagues. Shut up complaining. Egypt had 10. We've only had one, okay? So we need to be mindful here. Listen, God's called you to a different life. You are transformed by the Holy Spirit through the finished work on the cross and the shed blood of Jesus. You are not like the rest of the world. Stop acting like the world. Get out of the cave. Lay hands on the sick. Believe God for miracles at your word. Amen. Come on. Speak to somebody a prophetic word. Pray for the sick. Believe for healing. Use what God has given you, and by all means, be hospitable. Verse 14, bless those who persecute you. Bless, and don't cuss them out. That's my translation. Bless them. Bless those who curse you. Just a few weeks ago, Pastor Mike Blode preached a message. I listened to it twice, and one of the key nuggets that I got out of that message was that God sometimes will release to you through challenging situations and relationships and what have you, he will release unto you your next assignment. And you need to ask the Holy Spirit, why are you angry with this person? Why are you frustrated with this person? Why are you offended by this person? Because that person is possibly a divine assignment that God sent your way to see how you're going to handle it. Amen? So you're to not only practice hospitality, but you are to bless those who persecute you. Bless them. If they strike you, Jesus said this, if they slap you in the face on one cheek, turn the other cheek. Come on. Oh, not that cheek, this cheek. Thank God y'all paying attention. Turn the other cheek and say, why don't you hit that one too if it'll make you feel better? Okay? Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Why? Because I live a what? Transformed life. My life's been changed. Persecute means to harass, to trouble, or to molest in any manner. To harass, to trouble, or to molest in any way. What are you to do with these who do such things? Two times he says, bless them, comma, bless them. He's going to give you a double take here. Why? Because you might not have got it the first time. Bless them. Bless them and don't cuss them out. Because he knows what you want to do. To curse means not just to use profanity at them, but curse means to wish evil upon them. That's what it means. This is not just about nasty talk. This is about your attitude toward them. Okay? Your attitude toward them. You going to give them a graduation gift? No, I ain't giving them one. Josh graduated from school, didn't give him nothing. No, 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 no. You going to give them a graduation gift? By the way, if you hadn't learned it by now, my graduation gifts are always the year, okay? Well, he only gave me $20.20. Well, I wish it was the year 3000, though, but it's not, okay? Okay. All right. Guess what? I remember giving people gifts for the year 2000. How much did they get? $20. I've only had to raise it a penny every year. Glory to God. Because when you're a pastor, you get a stack of graduation invitations this time. Multiply that times 20. Who's this? I don't know. Where are they from? I don't know. I got a return address. I don't even know where that is. But they learned I'm a preacher and I give 20. So, hey, just mail it out. Because I'm not responsible for who it is. I'm responsible for doing what? Giving and releasing, okay? Maybe it's just a test for me. I don't know them. I ain't sending them $20.20. I don't know them, okay? These guys back here on this row are already counting up what year they're going to graduate, all right? Come on. We got some entrepreneurs in this house. They're counting up their money right now. Papa, hey, tell me how much, tell me what it'll be when I'm in the 12th grade, okay? Verse 15, rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. So far, the Apostle Paul has called us to share in the kingdom and practical needs and spiritual needs, to share outside of the kingdom with practical and spiritual needs. Now he wants you to get emotionally involved. I'm called to rejoice. Listen closely. I'm called to cheer for those who receive a reward that I wanted to win. Come on. I'm called to be happy for the man who's got a brand new car and I'm still driving my clunker, praise God. I'm to rejoice for him. I'm called to be happy when she got the promotion and I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt I'm more qualified. God's called you to rejoice. Congratulations, you go over to them. Inside, you're eating up. Oh my God, I wanted this job so bad. Lord, I prayed it, and I felt the Holy Ghost when I prayed it. I knew I was going, oh, I'm going to get it. And you didn't get it. So you go over to them and say, listen, Elaine, I just want to congratulate you, dear. You really deserve that. I'm so glad you got that job. You know what? God is honored with that. Because you really wanted it, and you really thought that you were more qualified than Elaine. But she got it, and you walked over, and you said, congratulations, girl. You deserve that. The moment you did that, sincerely, your healing began right then. No distress over it, no concern over it, nothing. You just walked away and blessed her. That's what God wants you to do. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Then I'm to mourn with those who mourn. I enter into feelings of sadness, even when my enemies lose their loved ones. Amen? How many of y'all know grief is real? Come on, man. Is grief real? Is it just grief of human beings? No. My son called me yesterday, Zach. Yesterday morning, he texted me, Dad, Raina's gone. I lost Raina this morning. You know what I did immediately? I stopped what I was doing, and I dialed Joy. And thank God for our phones have the capability of doing what? Three-way calling. And I said, hang on a second, Zach. I'm bringing your mama on. And so Mom and Dad on the phone with not some pitiful little child who lost his puppy, but with a grown man, 27 years old, owns his own property and several acres of land, works a full-time job, pays his tithes, and is faithful in the church. Not a kid, but he lost something that was dear to him. And so Mom and I are on the phone, and we're not being Mom and Dad. You know what we're being? Pastor Wallace, Pastor Joy, weeping with our son. And you know what? When he told me about Raina, tears rolled down my face. I love that little dog. I rejoiced every time I could get in the presence of that little dog. That little dog was had a spirit not like my dog, okay? I need grace to handle my dog, okay? I look at my dog every day and say, why do I love you? You know? No, I don't need grace. I need what? Mercy. That little dog would jump up on your chest and just stare in your face. You just jump up on your chest. Hey, Raina. And she'd just stare in your face, and then her little tongue would come out and lick you right in the mouth. And then she'd look at you like, want me to do it again? Okay. Yeah, Raina, go ahead. Just a sweet little dog. A disposition like you just don't find. And he lost his dog. Can I tell you something? In my 30 years of preaching here and pastoring here, I can't tell you the number of peoples that are sitting right where you're sitting right now that have called me at most unusual times. Say, Pastor, would you please pray for us? And I'd say, yeah, how can I pray for you? Doodles got killed this morning. Buffy got run over by a car today. And I learned very quickly as a pastor. Ricky Prince, I watched you grieve, man, when that precious dog of yours died. Saw it on Facebook. That thing, listen, is real. You know why? Because you invest love. And guess what the world says? Who's your best friend? A dog, okay? A dog. A dog never does anything wrong to you. They're loyal to you. They love you. They spend time. They understand you. They listen to you. They're there for you. And so you know what you're called to do when people are grieving and mourning? You comment in the section. Hey, Zach, sorry to hear about your dog. I looked at the comments yesterday. Wow, man, people know Zach, know he had a dog. People know Zach, know he had a special dog. Okay? I've heard Aubrey and Lynn talk about, man, we hate to see Abby going through the struggle she's going through, man. She's not the dog she used to be. More times at the vet, more investment, more love. Dawn Lee, probably the single person in this church that had invested more love and time and dollars in pets than any person I know. I remember going to see Dawn when Jack, who I gave her, one Wednesday night, somebody tied two dogs up with a long telephone cord to the door of the church. Two poodles, a black one and a blonde one. Those poodles had so many sticks and bottle caps and pieces of trash interwoven into their curly fur than you could ever imagine. And on a Wednesday night when we were in here in Bible study and everything, they tied those dogs up to the doors of the church. You know why they did? Because they knew we'd do something about it. So we took Jack and Jill. We named them. We didn't know what to call them. We called one of them Jack, one of them Jill. Okay? We took Jack and Jill to the vet. I heard Dr. Proctor. And the next morning, that's Thursday morning, I took Jack and Jill out there and I said, Dr. Proctor, I said, here's the story, man. I said, these two dogs were tied up at carpenter shop last night. He said, well, what do you want us to do? I said, do everything you need to do to make those dogs comfortable. And man, when we got Jack and Jill back, good gracious. How many of y'all know what it's like to get a bath and a haircut? Come on, somebody. I mean, I feel good when I get a haircut. You know, just feel, man, you feel like got a fresh head now. Feels good, don't it? Spray a little foo-foo juice on you, man, you cleaned up. Jack and Jill were so happy. Wednesday night, they were so oppressed, man, just kind of sheepish looking like, what you going to do to us? And we cleaned those dogs up. And I watched Dawn, who had just lost her dog. And you know what every dog owner says when they lose a dog? No more. How many of y'all said that before? No more. Not getting another dog. I can't get over this. Dawn had just lost a dog that she had for 18 years. Pastor Joy said, call Dawn. I called Dawn and said, Dawn, you know last night at the Bible study, no, Pastor, no, 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 no. Okay? I said, well, I tell you what, we got them cleaned up. And I said, their whole life's changed already. They're prancing around. They're eating good. They got them shots and medical attention. They got shaved. They look so good. She said, I can't do it, Pastor. That was Friday. Saturday morning, she called me. And she said, Pastor Wallace, this is Dawn. I go, she said, bring me Jack. Bring me Jack. And Joy can tell you, we watched Dawn Lee care for Jack for for probably 13 years. And I remember when Jack, I remember when she had to pick him up and take him outside for him to relieve himself. He was so crippled. And she watched over that dog until he lived his last day. What are you saying, Pastor? Mourn with those who mourn. May not have been your dog, may not have been your uncle, may not have been your aunt, may not have been your pops, but you as a transformed believer, you know what you do? You mourn with those who mourn. This is a pastoral message, friends. If you're looking for swinging from the chandeliers, this is not the kind of preaching you get with that. You mourn with those who mourn. It may not be your loss, but when loss is loss, it's loss. And for them, the investment is real. Why? Because they poured their love and their life into it. This is transformational living. Worship team, join me, would you? This is transformational living. And what God is asking you to do is to give yourself away. Give yourself away. In hospitality, in kindness, in generosity, you know? Just give yourself away. Open up your heart. Open up your pocketbook. Every Christmas, I get this every Christmas. Every Christmas, people do it. I'm looking at people right now in the face, in this room, that do this. Hey, Pastor. My wife and I are blessed. We don't know a lot of people in the church, but hey, here's a couple of gift cards I picked up. Would you put those in the hands of somebody? You know the people, man. I don't. Would you put those in the hands of somebody who needs it? I've been given 100. I've been given 1,000. I've been given all kinds of money just to, Pastor, you know the needs of the people. Would you see that they get this? Just give it to them. God's calling you, listen, in the most difficult time, in the most likely time that you would be selfish. Come on, come on, come on, come on, church. In the most likely time that you would be selfish because you don't, oh, I don't know, I don't know if I can tithe now or not. Listen, tithing is not even a question. If you're not tithing, you know what you've done to your income? You've cursed it. That's why you can't make it. Because you cursed it your own self by withholding what was God's. If you make 100, 10's his. If you make 1,000, 100's his. You know? You give it to him. You give it to him. And when you do, you will not lack for anything. God is calling you to a transformed life. To be transformed and to give of yourself. I give myself away. God, thank you. Thank you for allowing me to be a giver and not a taker. Thank you for teaching me. Thank you for partnering me up with someone else who also taught me generosity. Give. Go beyond the what's expected. Send flowers. Give a gift. Give, give. You've called me to give myself away. Can I just ask you to do something this morning? Please be aware of social distancing. I don't want you standing at the altar like a bunch of sardines in a can. But could I just get you to stand? And could I just, Brother Ted, would you come here? Pastor Ted from Pennsylvania. I want you to take this microphone in a minute. And I want you to, how many of y'all believe in impartation? Okay? That means when the man of God prays, then what he has himself, and I know Ted to be this way, what he has himself in the spirit will be imparted unto you if you want it. Okay? So I'm going to ask Ted here to pray a prayer of release, of generosity, hospitality, okay? Benevolence, mercy, great. The list is unending. It's unending.
But I want you to come to this altar. And you may not even be able to get to the altar because I don't want it to be so crowded, but I want you to move from your seat. Don't stay in your seat. Move from your seat as an indicator that you want this. And I want you to move and fill up this altar and then on down the aisles. And then in a moment, he's going to pray for an impartation to be released unto you, that in this most difficult time, you're going to entertain in the spirit thoughts of generosity. You're going to pray for people more than you ever have. When you see somebody that has an obvious need, he's limping. You're going to walk over and say, hey, man, I know I don't know you, but can I just pray for you? Father, in Jesus' name, would you touch my brother's leg right now? I did that one time in Rocky Hot coming out of the country store. There was a man who was just doing this number. And I never will forget, Brother Clarence, what he told me. I went over to him and I said, hey, bro. It's obvious. I mean, listen, just clear the air. It's obvious that you have a need, okay? It's physical. I don't know you, but I live here in this community. I frequent this store, but I've never seen you, okay? So I said, I'm a pastor and I'm a Christian. Can I pray for you? He said, yes. I said, Father, in the name of Jesus. And when I touched him, his body began to go into a shake. And tears came down his face. And I never will forget what that man said to me. He said, I've been coming to this store for 2 years. And he said, you are the very first person that has ever said anything to me about my leg. Not to mention, you're the very first person that has ever prayed for me. And I said, sir, God touched your leg today. I said, you're going to walk in a different manner right now. Take off across there and walk. And I said, look, keep on doing it. Keep on believing it. It might not be the miracle that you wanted, but it is the working of miracles that God will continue to do through faith in his name. Not me. Through faith in his name, God will heal your leg and make you whole. I want an impartation released over this house today. Come on, one by one, just come and stand at this altar. Pastor, get up on the platform if you would. Just give them the room. And as they sing, let them sing just a moment, and you come, and we're going to believe for a release today.
Hallelujah. Father, we're just coming to you in the name of Jesus. Father, healing will be in this place. Father, give them the courage, give them the wisdom, give them the knowledge. Father, when they speak the word, Father, it's not coming from them, it's coming from you, coming from the Holy Spirit. Father, touch them in a mighty, mighty way, more than they ever been touched before, Lord, Father. Let them get boldness. 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 Give them that strength that they know that they are in the power of the Holy Spirit. They have the power. Father, give them to them, Father. Father, give them wisdom, Father, to let them know that somebody is hurting. Let them know where the hurt actually is and that they can be touched in the name of Jesus, Lord. They need the fresh anointing. Give them a fresh anointing in the power of that you have for each and every one of them. Father, give them the courage that they can go out and they'll give the boldness that they can just touch someone and just give them the anointing in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah. And we'll give you the praise and we'll give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, because the power comes from you and only you. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, amen and amen and amen, amen. Touching every one of them, touching everyone, giving praise in this house. Giving praise in this house, giving praise in this house, Lord. Oh, let the evidence of speaking, the evidence of speaking in tongues. Give them wisdom, give them wisdom, give them wisdom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Lift up your hands and love him, would you? Come on. Let's worship him. Go ahead, guys.
I can't control.
what tomorrow is going to bring you. Come on.
But I know right here in the middle, is the place where you promised me.
He's going to be right in the middle of your situation. Just continuing. Come on, keep on, guys. Hallelujah. Oh, they said, don't go to church. Don't go to church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, you need to go to church. That's where the power is. That's where the anointing is. That's where the anointing is.
Say, I'm not enough.
worship him, worship him, worship him. Come on, worship him. I'm not enough, Lord. I'm not enough in the midst of this crisis. I'm not enough. Would you meet me right here, God? All I want is all you are. That's all I want, God. To live a transformed life. To be the difference. To be the leader. To be the one who's a catalyst. To be the one who's not afraid. To be the one who speaks prophetically over people. To be the one who anoints with oil and prays for the sick. To be the one who always has a word on my tongue for those who need to hear it. For be the one who's willing to stand in the gap and make up the hedge in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Come Holy Spirit,
troubles awaken. The Lord is in this place.
Yes, he is.
The Lord is in this place.
Lord, a shout of praise. Come on. Hallelujah. Come on. Shout of praise. Hallelujah. 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 Yes, Lord. Yes, 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 yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on. How many of you are convinced that God's called you to live a transformed life? Come on. Well, you know, I don't understand that tongue stuff. You don't have to understand it. I don't know about people falling on the floor. Listen, if the Holy Ghost gets a hold of this church, you ain't seen nothing yet, honey. God wants to move. This is not a time to go to your cave. This is not a time to back up. This is not a time to be fearful. This is a time to, listen, the violent taketh by force. Come on. This is a time to move forward in faith, not in fear, and take what is rightfully yours, what the devil is trying to steal from you. It's time to move forward. Keep on fasting. Keep on praying. Guess what? God's going to give you the breakthrough. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God bless you. Fellowship outside the building when you leave. God bless you. Bye-bye.